The nation's number one radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good morning to you and thank you for joining us. It's 8:07 from our studios here and we're live from our audiovisual studios on Etim Inyang Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you. We've been telling you that this morning we're looking at preparation for, you know, the season, raining season, the flooding that's synonymous to this season here. And we've got NEMAS Territorial Coordinator, Lagos Territorial Office, Mr. Ibrahim Faniloye, who is joining us right now. You can watch on Facebook. You can also watch on YouTube. Mr. Ibrahim, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Can you hear me, sir?
Good morning,
Mr. Ibrahim. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you for joining us. Let's jump right into it this morning. Let's start first with what was it like in Lagos in terms of flooding last year? What were the activities of NEMA, you know, last year in combating flooding? I'm getting some hallback from your end. I don't know where the hallback is coming from. It's as though it's repeating itself, you know, but let's have you respond to that first and see where the problem is. But talk to Lagos this morning. What was flooding like in Lagos? We know that it's at some level, you know, nationwide, but particularly in Lagos, what was it like?
Well, in Lagos, we've been having normal rainfall except in June, when we have a sort of a consistent heavy rainfall. Though it was around that time we had a loss of life, about four loss of life. A mother and the child with someone who was trying to rescue
them.
The mother and her child, he was also swept up. Then about 2 years old, 4 years old child around Ogba. Aside from that, we have issues relating to overflowing of a
I think we have an internet connectivity issue this morning with Mr. Ibrahim's call. Mr. Ibrahim, we can't hear you anymore. In case you can hear us, we'll most likely try.
Calls are coming in.
Okay. All right. So let's continue.
Okay. Early this year, immediately after the rainfall in December, we had a review. After event review, and at that level, we also detected about 25 communities that are vulnerable to repeat of what we experienced last year. And all stakeholders, especially the Minister of Environment, we discussed. In view of transition and election period, we knew if we didn't take any action early, there could be a lull, a break between the period and when disaster will happen. And you know, disaster doesn't wait for human activities. When it will happen, it will happen. It won't respect whether a change of government or somebody is just getting to the office. But fortunately, we met at the state level. We highlighted some of the communities, such as Kusela in Itiosa, Itou, Olo in Ikorodu. We have Agege, Orile Agege, other areas like that. Okay, Shagun, where we had three siblings that were lost during the rainfall. So we made assessment and we made recommendations. We identified the gaps, and the ministry also identified the areas of challenges which NEMA interfaced with the respective community and people. June, everything was perfect. The state government went back to 99% of the communities and they did all the necessary thing. The only gap we are having, Itowolo and Kushela, they've caused, they caused huge problem for themselves, and there is need for us, for the community members, to sacrifice a lot of things so that we can be able to solve the problem.
Mr. Frayinloye, what were the problems with Itoolu and Kushela? What were the issues that they caused?
Well, Itoolu community, for years now, they've refused to move out, and it's on the lowland area, and, you know, the ocean surge is impacting seriously on them, and they need to move out of that community, and they have refused to move out. This is more than 10 years problem we've been, they've been experiencing, and, you know, each year we've been having environmental degradation affecting them the most. Why Kushela? They've blocked all the drainage and canal. They've compacted those areas into residential houses. So for water to spill out from that community is a very, very difficult thing. So there should be a sacrifice by the community members. Some houses must give way so that canal can be constructed in those, in that Kushela.
Where are these communities, Itoolu and Kushela? Where are they located? Ikorodu?
Itoolu is at Ikorodu Aziz, while Kushela is at Etiosa.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, let's talk about this year now. I'm sure that you've been following up on trend of the Lagdo Dam release. Yes, the dam has been shut for now, you know, but is there any preparation on ground on the part of NEMA Lagos?
NEMA Lagos, Southwest will not be impacted by Lagdo Dam. And even the communities, that the state and communities that will be affected, there is a Bakin Rua in Adamawa is the closest, the immediate community that will be impacted. And as at now, the water from that, the release of water has less than 5% impact in that very community.
Good.
So if we have that situation as at now,
good.
And before this, as Lagos was preparing its own with release the dam management and other things, we have done a lot in preempting whatever will happen from Lagdo Dam, because the prediction was that there will be excessive rainfall this year. And since the prediction came, before the prediction came, we have worked with Federal Ministry of Water Resources so that almost all the dam were almost at zero level before the rainy season started. So by now, around the Lagdo Dam, we have a very big dam, not meant for to contain Lagdo Dam. It was meant to contain Lake Nyos. Lake Nyos is along the Cameroon Mountain. It's a poisonous lake that if it releases, if it breaks, the poisonous gas will go to Cameroon, while the excess water, so much water, will come to Nigeria. We have a lake that will contain it. If it gets to any unfortunate level, that lake can, the Kushela, I mean, Kasambila Dam can be leaked to contain some of it. So we have a situation that we are prepared to manage, and all the downstream communities, lowland communities, have been activated and they are working in close. And I sent something to you earlier this morning.
Yes.
The marking,
yes,
the dangerous marking. We see we are still at the green level. It's after the green level is filled up, we go to the yellow level. The first one I sent was the one that at yellow level, it was ordinary rainfall within the community, within Makurdi area, that got to that level. Not the release of water. So the main thing we are going to get worried of is the normal rainfall we experience within the country. That is very, very high, and it has not started. I showed you a sort of diagram, wind movement. That wind movement, by the time it comes in, getting down to Lagos, it will precipitate heavy rainfall. And all what we know based on the prediction, September will be the heaviest rainfall that we are expecting. And this is when we the whole states, the whole communities in the country have to be prepared for it.
Mm. So, Mr. Fraile, to butt in, I just wanted to just double down on the satellite image of the wind movement that you sent to me. It looks like it's going to be a very strong movement in terms of wind. And the heavy rainfall that we're expecting, if we now get that much of rainfall, we're expecting, not to scare anybody, but like you have said, we're expecting something that could be frightening if not properly managed. Have we put mechanism in place or structure or framework in place to, now that we have all of this information, and I appreciate the fact that you furnished me with this information that you did, now that we have all of this information, have we armed ourselves with the requisite materials, human materials, or even resources that may be available for us to mitigate the impact of what is to come?
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Farrelly.
Okay. When the predictions came, we only enhanced and strengthened our awareness and creation, expanding the structures and other relating with the state, with the state and local government. One strongest thing the agency have done was the director general's meeting the Council of States members at the federal level. Mm. Council of States, you know, all the state governors were there. Mm. They met them and educated them. Based on advocacy visits to them, they highlighted what are the needs that are, especially the need to allow the states and local government agencies to function, because most of them are not functioning, and those who are functioning are only reactive.
Hmm.
And there is nothing again in the world. We have paradigm shift from reactive to disaster to proactive activities. So we prayed, the Director General prayed for disaster risk reduction. Let us work on the risk, identify the risk. Mm. What are the risks? How do we address the risk based on traditional and modern ways?
Right.
Should be integrated so that the people, because disaster risk reduction is bottom up policy. It must start from the people before it gets up. So the state government must empower various agencies to mobilize the community members, the grassroots members, to come up. For instance, last week or so, we were at the NYC camp mobilizing the NYC members, the core members in the camp, to make sure we train them to identify their risk and the risk when it comes to rainy season. What are the risks? How do you help us? How do you mobilize the children?
Mm.
How do you empower the children so that they can be part of disaster risk reduction? We have the same clubs. We have primary and post-primary secondary schools. We have disaster risk reduction clubs. At the university level, we have various programs, ND, master's, BSc program in 6 geopolitical zones. Like in Southwest, we have Unibadan offering it, and the funding was by NEMA entirely.
Beautiful.
Then Port Harcourt is another, the University of Port Harcourt is another center in South. We have Unzuka in Southeast. We have Amadu Bello in Northwest. We have Futmina in North Central and the University of Maiduguri in Northeast. Mm. So some of these things are meant to empower the people, the community members, wherever they are. They should be able to know, especially the NYC members, the children, they need to know. Above all, we have what we call grassroots emergency management vanguard, volunteers, which are members of road transport worker unions, women societies, church. For instance, this Saturday, Sunday, we are meeting a church. We are going to train them on disaster risk reduction.
Hmm.
And we have been doing this. Any community, any association that is interested, at no cost, we will go there, train them on, one, basic fire disaster management and precautions during flooding or rainfall. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to keep in the house? What is expected of you based on community commitment.
Okay, Mr. Fariloye, very interesting points you've raised. Kofi Bartels here. You mentioned the state governments and some meeting you had, you know, with the state governments. That's NEMA, and that's very commendable. I would like you to speak on the collaboration of NEMA in Lagos State with the Lagos State government. We're aware that you're not the ones, you know, in charge of predicting when the rain will fall and all that, but your role is to act in preventing disasters and managing emergencies and all that, or, you know, managing disasters and emergencies, if I'm not mistaken. So what's the level of collaboration between NEMA and the Lagos State government? Being that Lagos is a peculiar case, you have a lot of wetlands in Lagos State, yes.
Well, virtually all agencies, we are not supposed to relate directly on individual basis with some of the state agencies. But because of peculiarity of Lagos, we are dealing directly with all lead agencies at the state level. For instance, on Sunday next week, we are going to train a couple of firemen on water rescue. When there is flooding, what do you do? Training will take place. Not only state officials, some state federal agencies will also be involved. So we are including, even like I told you, the federal ministry of, the state ministry of environment, when we were with them, we highlighted issues, we identified gap, we discussed on it, and they mobilized, they took care of the gaps, and they also told us the challenges they were having with one or two, three federal agencies. And we intervened on their behalf, and all those things were solved. So thank God, on collaboration, we don't have any problem with it. So, you know, because of tough protections all over the world, we are just a servant. Without the agencies, NEMA cannot exist because NEMA is just to work with other agencies. So whatever happens along the line, we will see it as part of the task of leadership to manage other people.
Mr. Fariloye, Lagos ordinarily is a coastal city where you have a lot of water all around us. Some places are prone to experience this, especially if we have what has been predicted, the heavy rainfall, plus of course the wind that is to land in Lagos, I think this weekend, Saturday or Sunday, the impact of that. What I want to know is whether you can give us an insight into the specific areas in Lagos that will be most impacted by what is to come this September, that we're expecting heavy downpour. But Mr. Fariloye, before we go into that, we need to take a quick break now. The reason for that question is so as to inform people living in these areas, you know, what to expect and how to prepare for it, and who to call and how to manage these eventualities when they happen. And if they don't happen, good. But let them have that information. But let's go to break first, Mr. Fariloye. We need to head out now. Let's take this break. When we return, would attend to that question. Please stay with us, sir. Lagos will be right back. Please stay here, please. Lagos, welcome back to the Morning Crossfire. Sheriff and Kofi here on the show. And we've been speaking with NEMA Lagos. Mr. Ibrahim Fariloye is here with us. And we'll be talking about flooding in this city. Well, the handling flooding in the city of Lagos so far this morning. Mr. Ibrahim, thank you again for joining us this morning. So let's head back to the question before the break concerning areas that may likely witness intense flooding and what can be done. Can you hear me, sir? Can you hear me, sir? Is that finally?
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, I'm not hearing.
I can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
I'm not hearing you.
Hey, okay. So we'll find a way to get you to be able to hear us. Can you hear me now, sir?
Hello.
I can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me now, sir? Is it fine, Louis? Can you hear me?
Okay, it's all right now.
Fantastic. So let's go back to my earlier question before the break about, you know, areas that may likely witness flooding as a result of the prediction that was made and what they can do.
The communities that were predicted are Surulere, Etiosa, Badagry, Epe, Agege, Alimosho, Ikorodu, and Kosofe local government areas with their communities. Already in Kosofe, the major impact that will be felt, one, the river Ogun already is filled up. Ordinarily, it's filled up now. Hmm. And the Ogun Oshun River Basin Authority have not started releasing any water from the dam, but the river is filled up. As of yesterday, we discussed with the River Basin Authority, and from any moment from now, they will give a notice for when water will be released. Already, we've gone to many communities along the river, the downstream of the dam, and we have seen the level of rainfall there, and we have seen the impact. Whatever has happened so far this year on that, as is Kosofe, Ikorodu, are basically the effect of rainfall. No water release from the dam. And we have been sensitizing them along that those parts. One thing we have seen when we visited these communities, the fact remains that they've not been conscious of their safety. Most of them are using waterways and they don't use life jackets. Based on this reality, we had to invite NIWA, National Inland Waterways, to come and sensitize them the more. From the discussions, we found out that they too, they have challenges, and National Inland Waterways, we supply them with safety jackets, and they talked about water hazards, and water hazards in their area will be cleared. So the awareness creation, visit to the grassroots, created a lot of avenue and advantages to the community. But all what we need to do is, by the time the Ogun River Basin will start releasing their water, it won't have much impact because the people will be aware. And most of the women that have used the waterway on a daily basis, regular basis, because one of the community, Maidan, on every three minutes, the boats are also filled up, either going to the market or coming back from the market. Every three minutes, you must have three or four, five boats crossing, taking people across the river. So we've gone to those areas. We've gone to Agboyi 1, Agboyi 2, Agboyi 3, Odoogun. All these cases, we have gone there and we have seen the level of rainfall there, and we have spoken with them. I can even send one or two, three videos to you where we have a community town hall meeting in the open market square, where we had discussions and questions were asked. Aside from this, Surulere.
Mr. Fanrile, before we move on to Surulere, the Ogun River itself, what happens to dredging it? Would dredging have reduced the impact of the release of the dam, you know, on the people's movement? Would dredging have helped in any way?
About dredging along that axis, that's one major challenge we still need to do. Then some communities just need a simple bridge crossing over less than about 500 meters bridge, so that we stop them from using boats to cross over.
Right.
But construction of that bridge, we community members confided in some of us that some community leaders are also working against construction of bridges.
You see?
Because they are the ones
they own the boats.
Boat operators. So that's another challenge we are having. Oh. So dredging of the river Ogun is a responsibility that must be accomplished as one of the reasons we have raised, and we are going to work. You know, the challenge we are having with the rate of rainfall, the climate change effect, and still the structure we have put in place for years past, tens of years past, is still what we are having. So to get more fun now, to expand the structures are the major challenges we are having in some of the communities. Why? That's why I'm going to Surulere. Surulere, Mushi, Idioro, and all this, as it's going down to Badia, Ijora Badia, from Oshodi, all the water from Surulere down to Mushi, from Oshodi down to Mushi, all of them goes to Badia. From Badia, Ijora Badia, they move to the ocean. But the immediate past speaker of House of Representatives had done a lot in expansion, upgrading of canals in his own constituency, which has impacted positively in reducing the challenges of flooding in Surulere. Though in the neighborhood of Surulere, we have challenges where we have shallow drainages, not canal.
Okay.
But it's not even only in Surulere. In all parts of Lagos, neighborhood drainages are major challenges, and these are sole responsibility of local government, which they are not doing.
Okay.
The local government have what we have, emergency flood abatement gang in each local government area, but to mobilize this gang is a challenge. Mobilizing community development associations to do their part is a challenge from the local government. Aside from that, some of the commercial building, private building, or any other type of structures, most of them are converting the spaces that are meant for drainage to car park or flower pot or any other usage that they can use. The local government are responsible to deal with these structures, either to prosecute them or to force them to open the drainage in front of the houses. So the presence of, that's why we have been having major flash flooding in urban centers, either in Obakran, Awolowo Way,
any small drop of water like this, what you see is just all this.
Because the drainages are no longer, the local government drainages are no longer there. They are blocked. And you know, the challenge is, even if the wherever there is effort by the community, if they clear it, one rainfall now, solid waste will come in. Solid waste will block the what they have cleared within 2-3 minutes. It wants the another rainfall. So these are some of the challenges that local governments need to do their own part.
Right. All right.
And based on this identification of gap, my director general have met the executive governor of Lagos State.
Okay.
Highlighted the gap of the local government to His Excellency. And I believe the Excellency is going to work on this.
Okay. Very, very interesting, Mr. Faraloye, thoughts you've shared there. But we want you to just speak to the specific role of NEMA, which is to manage emergencies. You're not going to be building the drainages. You're not going to be dredging the canals. It's important, and it's a very key question that Sherry asked, which you answered. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All these things you said about your DG meeting with the governor, very good. You know, because you know where it hurts the people, and you're making those recommendations. And if we have the authorities listening today, we know that they're going to take action on dredging the canals, looking at the Ogun River, looking at those shallow drainages. Yes, especially in urban areas like Surulere. But on the other side, for NEMA, what have you put in place to evacuate people from the flooded areas? What measures have you put?
Sorry, sir.
And after evacuating them, what measures have you put in place to house them,
resettle them,
feed them?
Thank you.
Yeah, because what we're used to is to see that 2 months after people have lost their property and their loved ones, 3 months, 4 months, we see. Last week, somewhere in the southeast, and I'm sure you're aware of this, sir. Enugu State or some state like that, the NEMA and the SEMA and some other federal government gave blankets, they gave mattresses, they gave some things last week for 2022 floods. Sir, over to you.
Well, about 2022 flood, it's not like that. You know, we have series of interventions. Like when you come to Lagos warehouse, we can show you all the spaces we have. We have filled it up with relief materials. When you go to Okoba, the Ministry of State Ministry of Agric, we have filled up all their spaces, the warehouses, and more materials are still coming in. What happened in 20, like in this year now, all the communities that have been affected, impacted by flooding and rainfall, we have given them the first phase of palliative, including building materials, clothing, blankets, all sorts of food items we are giving to them, including guinea brocade and wears for children, wears for women. We are for this year's own. And the process will continue like that on regular basis.
But Mr. Farlory, when the flood comes, it sucks them from where they stay. Where has never been prepared?
Because of time. I'm addressing the issue of saying we distributed in Enugu last week. So when you say this, intervention is a continuous thing. So like this year, so we started as soon as complaints started coming in. We started giving them. Then there will be a general one, like the one that is ongoing now. This one ongoing was not meant for general people. It was specifically for farmers, for farmers who lost their crops, seedlings, yam seedlings, fertilizers, herbicides. We are giving to them.
You probably know what time March, it is February, whenever you hear the voice. I have
for them
something
to start planting.
Mr. Farlory, please hold on, sir. Please hold on. Let's take this quick break. Lagos, welcome back. We must go now, but we still have Mr. Farlory on the line. Mr. Farlory, please quickly wrap up before we go.
Well, about displacement. Well, yes. The global standard is that services must be taken to people wherever they choose. We have established camps, like in Lagos, we have Gbeda, we have that of in Ikorodu Aziz, Agbowa, we have IDP camp. But all public facilities, either church, mosque, schools, are part of facilities that can be used for displacement and attending to some of the displaced people. However, many people in the southern part of the country, they prefer going to their family members' houses, and it is mandatory for emergency workers to locate them wherever they are and accommodate their needs, along with their host communities, host families. We need to provide for the two of them, the displaced people and those who hosted them. Because before...
Thank you, Mr. Farlory. Thank you, Mr. Farlory, Territorial Coordinator, NEMA Lagos Territorial Office. It's been wonderful having this conversation with you on the Morning Crossfire today, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Welcome, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Lagos, that's the Morning Crossfire for today. Kofi, it's been great doing this.
Yes, it's been fantastic, and we'll be back tomorrow.